This is a book about the Korean War, written for Americans and by an American, about a conflict that is fundamentally Korean, but one construed in the United States to have been a discrete, encapsulated story beginning in June 1950 and ending in July 1953, in which Americans are the major actors. They intervene on the side of the good, they appear to win quickly, only to lose suddenly. Finally, they eke out a stalemated ending that was prelude to a forgetting. Forgotten, never known, abandoned. Americans sought to grab hold of this war and win it, only to see victory slip from their hands and the war sink into oblivion. A primary reason is that they never knew their enemy, and they still don't. So this is also a book seeking to uncover truths that most Americans do not know and perhaps don't want to know. Truths sometimes as shocking as they are unpalatable to American self-esteem. But today, they have become commonplace knowledge in a democratized and historically aware South Korea. The year 2010 marks the 60th anniversary of the Korean War's conventional start, but also the centennial of Japan's colonization of Korea. This war had its distant gestation in that imperial history, and especially in northeast China, or Manchuria as it was called, at the dawn of Japan's aggression in 1931. Japan's ambitions to colonize Korea coincided with Japan's rise as the first modern great power in Asia. Seizing on a major peasant rebellion in Korea, Japan instigated war with China in 1894 and defeated it a year later. After another decade of imperial rivalry over Korea, Japan smashed Tsarist Russia in lightning naval and land attacks, stunning the world because a yellow country had defeated a white power. Korea became a Japanese protectorate in 1905 and a colony in 1910, with the blessing of all the great powers, and especially the United States. President Theodore Roosevelt admired the skills and virility of Japan's leaders and thought they would lead Korea into modernity. It was a strange colony, coming late in world time, after most of the world had been divided up, and after progressive calls had emerged to dismantle the entire colonial system. Furthermore, Korea had most of the prerequisites for nationhood long before most other countries: common ethnicity, language, and culture, and well-recognized national boundaries since the 10th century. So the Japanese engaged in substitutions after 1910, exchanging a Japanese ruling elite for aristocratic Korean scholar officials, most of whom were either co-opted or dismissed, instituting a strong central state in place of the old government administration, exchanging Japanese modern education for the Confucian classics. Eventually, they even replaced the Korean language with Japanese.